to 2 Timothy, if you would, as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when I come back this way, it's just like being part of the family. Well, how's so-and-so doing? And say hi to so-and-so for me, you know. It's just, I enjoy just being able to do that. You folks are, you just make me feel like I'm at home, and I like that. That's a help, because as you can well see, I am alone. And so thank you for being a part, making me a part of your family. And so here we are. Let's pray as we look to the Word of God, shall we? As we bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your precious and your holy Word that you would use, Lord, to move upon our heart and soul. And Lord, I truly ask that you would help me, Lord, to speak to folks who come to church on Sunday night. Obviously, it's not a popular thing. And so, Lord, I ask that you would speak to these who we would maybe in some way consider to be choir members, as they show up faithfully, regularly, wanted to be counted faithful in your eyes. Lord, that you would somehow encourage them through the preaching of your word tonight, move upon their soul, their heart, their spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you would move upon myself, that you'd give me the words to say, that I might magnify your name, and that somehow these folks would grasp and get a glimpse of the very things that will help them to live a better, more happier life in the days ahead. I pray that you'd bless now to this end. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And so you'll notice with me in verse 16, a verse you've seen before, in verse number 16. I want to identify Scripture, the Word of God. I want to identify that this is the Bible. It says that all Scripture. Now, what's the definition of the word all? I mean, don't you really like it when God makes it so simple that even we can get it? I mean, it's just as amazing. And we're looking at the King James Bible, by the way. Did you notice that? It's the one that most of the rest of the world said, well, that Bible's too hard to understand. All Scripture is given by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, is that a big deal? It's supposed to be. It is to God. Can I say this? It is to God. Brethren, and I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, do you realize how easy it is to get comfortable in church? Especially when you have comfortable chairs. I, oh my. And we have when we sit and listen to a message, we have our regular pose. You know, maybe it's an arm laying over here and the leg is like this, right? Isn't that how it generally is? Well, when am I doing that? Well, I'm in Sunday night church. Well, we know how to sit when it comes to Sunday night. We've got that thing down pat. We've got it rehearsed. But can I say to you, things are far more exciting. Far more exciting when it comes to the Word of God than so often what we see in our own life. Look, God wants to erase boredom. He just wants you to somehow get into the Word of God and be inspired. So this is what he's saying. This book is inspired, okay? That means that it's God-breathed. It's God breathing on His Word. It makes it alive. It makes it alive. It's that Bible that you've got in your hand. It makes it alive. You have a living book in your hand. I mean, it's withstood all kinds of attacks. Why, the nation of France back in 1500s, while they did everything they could to try to get rid of the Bible, they went into Christian homes, they went into other homes, they went into whatever home would be open and take the Bibles out. They take those Bibles out and they put them on big piles. They'd have bonfires burning the Word of God. Why? Because they disagreed with the fact that there is a God. Denied God. I have good news for you. God is still in France today. They never burned him out. He's always been there. And by the way, the Word of God is still in France today. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Look, I am telling you, this is a book of miracles. I mean, look, do you realize the lives that have been paid just to get the Word of God to you? The people who have lost their lives just to get the printing out that God used so that you could have the Bible today. I mean, this is alive. This is a breathing book. Am I the only one that believes that? But is it true? Amen? Amen, preacher. Is there an echo in here? Amen. It's absolutely true. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the Bible that you have. It's the one that you wrote your name right up here in the front. It's the one that we don't always look at throughout the week. It's the one that somehow, wow, we forget we even have. You ever forget that you have a Bible? This really is a big deal to God. This is honest now. It's a big deal to God. Did you know He said that He lifts His Word above His name? He lifts His Word above His name. He regards His... Don't you think we ought to do the same thing? I mean, if God thinks that much of His Word, that He lifts it above His name, don't you know that we ought to lift His Word above our name? That the Word of God ought to matter more than you? Well, that's a hard one to say amen to, I understand. But the reality is, the Bible is that which you need to embrace, is that which you need to regard as something that's constantly speaking. Just as soon as you open it up and read it, and you look at it, God speaks. No other book does that. No other book is inspired like the Word of God. It ought to be something that impresses us that we're going to highly lift up and regard it. Yeah, have you ever heard about a preacher putting his Bible on top of the roof of his car and forget he put it there? No, you've never heard of that, have you? Well, it's happened far too many times. The Word of God needs to be absolutely revered. As it's a precious entity in and of itself, while it's alive. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Is that how you got saved? Sure enough, through the Word, through the Word, through the Word, through the Word, through the Word. Amen. Through the Word. Through the Word. That's what it's all about. You want to get inspired? Get bored? Open up the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. So often, we read the Word of God with one eye. One eye. Because chances are the Holy Spirit's not going to get a hold of you quite so much. One eye. Because if I start getting serious about it, He could call me into some kind of service, and I just am not eager to go. I'm not eager to serve. And I'm talking to a church who likes serving the Lord. And so our nature is the nature of the flesh. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I mean, how many of you are actively right now disobeying this very Word of God? Well, we won't be telling stories here. But the fact of the matter is, look, did God give us His Word so that we could follow it? Did He give us His Word so that we could simply know how to live right? Don't we want to live right? Amen? We want to live right? Well, here's the book of living right. It's all righty. It's all laid out. And then God is so gracious and so good to say, look, not only am I going to tell you how to live right, He said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to enable you to live right. I'm going to give you what it takes to live a right life. And it's so quiet in here. Amen, preacher. He did. In every way, He made His way for us to live this kind of life that would enable us to live for God, an exciting one, that would prevent us from getting bored. You ever notice how easy it is to get bored because we do the same thing all the time. Routine. That's us. So it says here, and I got all of that out of all scriptures given by inspiration. How about that? But you notice this. He said here, by inspiration of God, and is, what's the next word? There you go. The Word of God is profitable. So that means when you pick it up and you read it and you obey it, you now have a profitable life. The word profit to us has great interest, wouldn't you say? I mean, the average person is looking for profit. Eh? Right? This is it. This is the answer of all. It is profitable. We gain when we read. We gain when we practice the Word of God. We become enriched. David, what a guy. Did you know he was called the friend of God? David, what a blessing. He was called this one who just was in love with the Lord. Oh, yes, he made mistakes. Oh, yes, but he kept the Lord before him. No matter the mistakes, he still trusted God. He still lifted up God in his life, and therefore he was encouraged in the Lord. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. And again, I go back to what I said earlier this morning, that we were born knowing nothing. And so now, ever since we were born, it's about learning. And here, if you want to know the right way, when I was pastoring in Minnesota, we had an opportunity to have a radio program. It was 15 minutes every Sunday. But I had to figure out a way to find a way to name the program. And so I thought about, as the Holy Spirit impressed me, about all the hardships and difficulties that people have in finding the absolute truth. The way Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. That's exactly what he said. But however, out there we've got a church in every corner, and they're not all telling the truth. And so for somebody to hear the truth and get saved, it's a miracle. I mean, you ought to just regard yourself. Look, I could have been one of those people believing all that error out there that's being taught. I could have got swept away in all of these things that somehow are out there that will draw people away from the truth of God's Word. So I named it. I named the radio program The Way of Truth. The Way of Truth. I mean, what a book. Hey? What a book. Something you can turn, open up, and never find any flaw. Nothing is ever wrong in here. Isn't that neat? I know that you know this, but sometimes information that we know, we kind of put it up in the closet and we already know it. I think we need to get re-impressed. That's why they call it a revival. Well, I just got all stirred up again about the Word of God and how wonderful and how great it is. I forgot. How many of you are veteran forgetters? I mean, we could write a book on forgetting. I mean, to tell you what. And so often if we forget the good stuff, right? And the Word of God is good. Where we're taught what the Word of God is actually telling us how to live and guiding our lives and leading us along, showing us the way. And then not notice this. It says here that it is profitable for look at that word. It says reproof. Well, that's actually connected over here. To some degree, it says for correction. Isn't that amazing? This book is here to reprove us. When you open it up and say, well, I guess I was wrong there, wasn't I? Well, there's the Holy Spirit speaking to me again. I guess I blew that one too. And I guess I got something I got to iron out in that part of my life, right? And then what that's all about, when you get into the Word of God, conviction sets in. And there, the battle ensues, right? The battle ensues. Definitely. And you want to know the sides? On one side, it's God. On the other side, it's you. Well, I wonder who's gonna win. Did you know that God's always on the winning side? And if you agree with God, you'll be on the winning side too. But hey, you don't want to ever be on the losing side when God's on the winning side. I mean, who wants to be known as a loser? I mean, if you don't live the Word of God and you don't agree with the Word of God, you're a loser. Is there any simpler way to say it? You're a loser. It makes it very clear, very plain, and very simple. So the Word of God points out all the things that are wrong with us. That's why I don't like to read the Word of God, preacher. I don't like to be reminded of how bad I am. But look, it's also telling you how good you can be when you work with God to live the life that you need to live. Absolutely. No question about it. And then he said for correction. All right? Now, look. So the Word of God now can correct you. Any of you need correction? Yeah. We need correction, right? Well, because if you let us walk the way we want to go, we'll go the wrong way every time. All right? We'll go the wrong way every time. Remember now, we're sheep. He's the shepherd. We're sheep. If the sheep get away from the shepherd, they always go to the place they're not supposed to be. Every single time. We need the shepherd, don't you see? We need the shepherd. This is life. This is your rule of authority. The Word of God. So often we just put her on the table and dust her off once in a while. Well, why do you even have it? Well, it's a good idea. I thought that before I got saved. I went out and bought me a Bible. I wasn't even saved. Well, I got to have one at least. At least I got to have one. And here we are, absolutely impressed with the fact that as old as the Bible is, because it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. Forever, O Lord. There's no way you can get a Bible-burning party to get rid of all the Word of God. It's never going to happen. It can't ever. It's just not reality. Why? Because the Bible is a miracle book. It's from God. And you can't run away from it. Ask the prodigal son. Ask Jonah. They ran, and God caught them. And if you run from God, can I tell you, God's going to get you. Uh-huh. sooner the better for you, don't you think? The sooner the better. The sooner the better. And then he says here, it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Hey, we didn't know how to live a right life, so we needed somebody to teach us. And here it is, the Word of God, to tell us, to teach us. Why? Because we weren't born with this knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God increases our ability to live for God. To learn. That's why adults go to Sunday school as well as children. Moms and dads go to Sunday school. Why? Because they don't know it all. And we come to learn. We come to learn. To be taught what thus saith the Lord. To learn. That's what God wants of us in our life. You know, this verse is so closely connected to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go over there. To chapter 4, if you would please. And you'll notice this with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Before we look at that verse, back in the early 70s, when I was in Bible college, we were in this fairly good-sized church. About 500 would show up in church. It was a good-sized Bible college town. And at that time, the Bible college that I went to had 2,200 students. Our graduating class was 600. That was back in 75. But I'm saying all of that to say to you, this man one time in our church, it was made known that his house, and he had eight or nine children, but his house had burned to the ground. I mean, there wasn't a stick left standing. It had burned to the ground. He gave up. He stood up and gave his testimony. And he said, I walked to the place in my house, burned and charred and black and ugly and terribly smelling. I walked to the place where I normally did my devotions to see where my Bible may be. And he saw his Bible laying there in the spot where he usually would have it. And it was so marred and burned and charred, but he could still read the verse that said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not." There's a message there, isn't there? Somehow there's a message there. That long after you're gone, the Bible will be still here, just like in every other generation. Long after they're gone, we still have the Word of God, right? We still have the Bible. We're still preaching the Word of God. We're still exhorted to live the Word of God. And this morning, you heard how to find rest in God when we walk in the old paths. Hey! When we walk in the old paths. And so you'll notice it says here in verse 12. In verse 12 it says, "For the Word of God is," and what's that word? Quick. I know you've seen that before, but that word is in this particular context does not mean fast. It means alive. It's alive. When was the last time you ever thought the Bible is being alive? Huh? But it is. It's alive. It's got the power of powers through it. It's God's Word. It's that which God reveres greatly. And it's the same book that you're going to be judged from when you get to heaven. You want to know what you're going to have to answer for it? Well, you better get in here and find out. It's all right here. It's all written down. It's all given for us to take to heart, to put to practice. I find comfort in the Word of God because it's true. Because it's all right. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. The Word of God is powerful. You got to admit, anything that changed your life's got to be powerful. Huh? Anything change your life's got to be powerful. What else can move you? Huh? What else can move you? Wow. Why? Because this is that written Word of God through which the power of the Holy Spirit moves through. Changes lives. Your lives. Changes you. Changes you. And you know how much we oppose change, right? And that's why some of us are still struggling today. Well, I don't want to change anything more than why. You realize how much it's going to just affect my life and actually mess it up? I mean, what would happen if we were all 100 totally submitted and surrendered to God? 100%. I think we'd see some changes even here amongst us, the Sunday night crowd. I believe that. I am absolutely convinced. And so you'll notice, he says here, this is how powerful it is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It does not say that it's a two-edged sword. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Doesn't matter which way you turn the Bible and which way you move it this way or that way. It cuts in every way. It just simply, that's why it's so encouraging for people just pick up the Word of God and read, because then it begins to cut. It begins to go deep. Nothing else can do that. Wow. What a book. Hey, what a book. Awesome. Right? What a book. Piercing, it says. Piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit. Wow. That's why you can sit and listen to a message like this and somehow God just go deep, deep, deep inside you, like where no man can go. But God can. God can change lives. Oh yeah, we might get upset, but we know that we've been spoken to. Sure enough, we may struggle with God, but we know we've been spoken to. We know this. And so you'll see this and you'll understand. As we look a little further out, it says, and of the joints and marrow. Well, that marrow, that goes down in the center of the bone. Does the Word of God get down in the center of the bone? Well, that's getting deep, isn't it? Why? He could change the whole constitution of a human being. He could change that person into a miracle. Isn't that amazing? What a book we've got. We have the Word of God. And if you want another one, you can go out and buy one. You could have two. If you want three, you can go out and buy three. Why, we even go out and give them away. Praise the Lord. This is God's Word we're talking about. And here I am getting so excited about it. Some of you still got that look on your face that, oh, preacher, this is the way it is. But don't you realize that God is excited about His Word? He really, really is. He really is. And so He puts it together over the centuries. And then He lays it in your laps and say, I'm going to trust you with my Word. How's that feel? You now have a responsibility of the Word of God. How's that feel? That makes you feel trembling, right? Humbling, don't you know? You have the responsibility of the Word of God. Oh, we get so careless at times, don't we? Get so careless with the Word of God. Far too often we don't open it. Far too often we don't regard it. Far too often we find ourselves disobeying it. Far too often we find ourselves forgetting the impact and the influence it could have on other people's lives if we would just care. if we would just care to share it. I mean, wouldn't it be neat if you got so excited, you say, "Hey, I've got a great book here. It's the Word of God. You ought to look at this." Hardly does that happen these days. And what a blessing. Part of you is on a missions trip. Doing what? Giving out the Word of God to some people who need to hear the truth. Right? And not only that, but your prayers are down there too. Lord, give them grace. Give them strength. Help them to win souls. Fall in love with the Word of God. What a team. What a team. We're almost done. But it says here that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it is a discerner of the thoughts. Oh, did we ever talk about thoughts today? Oh, we sure did. A discerner of the thought. Wait a minute now. Are you saying, preacher, that this Word of God can discern my thoughts and run through my head? Well, yes. Yes. Oh, I don't know, preacher. That's a scary book. Knows everything that I am. Pointing its finger at me. Tells me what I need to know. And tells me how I need to live. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will meditate in thy statutes. I will meditate in the Word of God. I'm going to get alone with God and His Word and let Him lead me to the next point of my life. The preacher is being quite dramatic here about this. Well, it's probably because there's not enough drama in other places. Maybe there should be a little more drama amongst ourselves. After all, what's that verse over there in where John 1:12 says? It says that He has given us the power to become the sons of God. So you are a son of God. Eh? You are a son of God. All right? Well, then I should be getting excited about the Word of God. If I am a son of God, I ought to be getting excited about it. I should be. And so, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. The intentions of the heart. The Word of God even discerns my intentions. How many of you have good intentions? I mean, all over the place we've got good intentions, right? Do you know how many people are burning in hell who intended to get saved? Those are good intentions. But they're burning in hell today. Do you know how many God's people went on into glory that intended to give all their life to Christ and never did? But they had good intentions. Oh, I meant to do right. I was planning on it. I was. The idea is, you don't have the promise of living tomorrow. All you have to live for is the moment that God gives you, which can go away in the next moment. So, God's appointed time is now. It's now. Now's the time to take care of what needs to be taken care of. Don't put this thing off. I mean, we're great procrastinators. I'm telling you, if you wrote a book on how to procrastinate, it'd be a bestseller in a heartbeat. Or if you even put it on the title, How to Beat Procrastination, that'd be a good seller too. Because people who procrastinate, they get tired of it. I did it again. I put it off. I should have did it, but I didn't do it again. So I say, what are you going to do about what you heard tonight? Well, preacher, you presented it, and now I have to do something with it. And isn't that the way it's supposed to be? The message is now delivered from my heart that God put in here to your heart. And you get to act upon it. Do something about it. Would you do that? Even now, shall we bow our heads? With every head bowed, every eye closed.